Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
But real wisdom is making sure that your life has been given to Christ, and now you are the righteousness, the holiness, and the redemptive person of God. Anything outside that definition, God says, is not wisdom.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon reflects on the nature of life, highlighting that some experiences hold more significance than others. He suggests, among other things, that attending a funeral can be more beneficial than enjoying a feast, highlighting that both joyful and tough times are part of life. He emphasizes that people often struggle to grasp God's plans, so it's essential to let His wisdom guide us to find meaning in our lives, because living by God's wisdom brings balance, strength, and clarity. Solomon also cautions against going to extremes. Being too righteous or too wicked can lead to self-destruction. Instead, he suggests we should handle injustice wisely. Pastor Neil has titled this message, "Are You Smart or Wise?"
Any choice that is not fueled by his perspective, you are being smart. You are not being wise. With all that in mind, pick up your Bibles now. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and let's deal with that. So Solomon is saying, you need wisdom for some things to take place in your life. Let me summarize chapter 7 for you before we start reading. In Ecclesiastes 7, the first 12 verses, Solomon says, some things in life are better than others. Wisdom will help you to choose what is better. Did you hear that? Secondly, he says, God's wisdom is greater than our smartness. We see that in verse 13 and verse 14. And then finally, he says, there are benefits to those who live by God's wisdom. And that is from verse 15 to 29. Are you ready to go on the journey with me? So who is smart? Who is smart? It's good you didn't raise your hands, because it will be a bad answer. You are either wise or you are foolish. But we don't like using the word foolish. So we say, how would you have felt if my topic is, are you wise or foolish? You wouldn't take it, huh? So let's make it, are you wise or smart? And God is saying, if you are smart, you're foolish. So let's begin from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's start from verse 1. A good name is better than perfume, and a day of death better than the day of birth. So notice how he's saying that. He mentions good name and perfume. And he's saying the good name is better than the cologne you wear. But it takes wisdom to know that the good name is better. Because sometimes when you have a good name, people don't even want to recognize it publicly. But put on a cologne and walk around. What are you wearing, Versace? Oh, it smells good. Solomon says, don't look for that, because a good name is what? It's better. And he says, the day of death is better than the day of what? Birth. 2, he said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Simple. It is better to go for funerals than to go for parties. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. What is he trying to say? He says, at least when you go to parties and you start partying, you think you will live forever. Because you're having fun. Everybody's having fun. But when you go to a funeral and you see a casket and a dead body, you know one day you'll be there. So you will not think you'll live forever. And he's saying that going to the funeral home is better. It takes wisdom to be able to make that distinction. Else you think that going to a party is better. Are you following Solomon's argument? He says, frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. Did you understand what I just read here? You all want likes. How many likes can I get on Instagram? How many likes can I get? And you are not even sure who is giving you the like. Whether they are smart or wise, based on God's standard. The scripture is saying, when a fool tells you that you are doing good, don't be happy. But if a wise person tells you that something ain't right, even though it's a negative comment, rather rejoice because they are wise. Are you with me? Verse 6, like the crackling of the tongues under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Tell the person sitting next to you, patience is better. No, slow it down. Patience is better than pride. Verse 9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. In other words, don't be angry quickly. For anger resides in the lap of fools. Are you guys paying attention to those words? He says, when you are angry, you are actually... Okay, I don't want you to feel offended, so you are smart, according to us. But God says you are a fool. Verse 10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such a question. He's not saying don't look at the old days and correct your course. But he's saying that anyone who takes the old days as better never expects that God is going to do a new thing. So, but it takes wisdom to know. Husbands, never say to your wife, when I married you, you were a very good woman. These days, you are very cantankerous. Never say. Because your best days are ahead of you. A word to your wife is enough. Verse 11. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this. Wisdom preserves those who have it. Do you understand what he's saying? There is nothing as dangerous as a rich fool. That's what he's saying. In other words, if somebody is foolish and they have money, they will do crazy stuff with it. But if somebody has money and they are wise, they will do good stuff with it. What good is it? If somebody has a long-range missile, I'm meddling. Hear me, leaders of this world. But you have no wisdom according to God's word. You misuse it. Aren't we the same people making all the weapons? And we are killing each other with it? So Solomon is saying, these are a few things I've seen in life. That there are some things that are better. But the only way to find the better is because you operate by, or you make decisions that are informed by God. That's wisdom. Amen. Let's move on. Now he begins to deal with some stuff that is important. Now, let's go back to verse 12 because I don't want to miss something there. Let's all read it together. Ready? Go. Wisdom is better than money. That's what he's saying. But it is better if you have money, because sometimes you have wisdom, but you don't have money, you don't have influence, so people won't listen to you. Are you getting it? Suppose Mickey J was alive. You know Mickey J? Mm-hmm. Suppose he was alive. And they put me in Times Square to preach. There is no way, absolutely no way, Mickey J can match the level of knowledge I have in the Word of God. But I bet you, people will listen to him and not me. Because money brings influence. Are you guys with me? You can meet a very wise person, and if they are poor, sometimes their wisdom dies with them. As soon as they start talking, people, my friend, just chill. Because we assume that those who are rich are wise. But I'm telling you, some of the richest people in our world today, they are smart in their own ways, but according to God, they are foolish. I want to add that so somebody doesn't edit this part of my clip and take it around and say, this preacher says that all rich people are smart. No. You are smart, but according to God, that's foolishness by his definition. Verse 13. Now Solomon shifts his attention and he's saying that there is a level of wisdom that is the wisdom of God, and it is greater than our smartness. Are you with me? Look at verse 13. He said, consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made what? Crooked. Do you understand what he's saying here? He said, when you look at life, there are some things that looks crooked to you. Then there are some things that look straight to you. But the ones that we even have the ability to see that they are crooked, we don't have what it takes to straighten it. There is a way that seems, come on, talk to me. There is a way that seems, it looks straight to you. But God has made it crooked. Verse 14, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about the future. Two things, write it down. He's saying that God's wisdom preserves us from pride, doubt, sadness, and discontent. God's wisdom. So that the things that are crooked, they can make you sad. Many of us, we pray, we cry to God. There are things we're believing God for. We don't see it, and sometimes we become what? In the book of Genesis, chapter 49, the Bible says, when they had come and given to Jacob the message that Jacob, the prime minister of Egypt, now wants Benjamin. What did Jacob say? He says, Joseph is not. I'm quoting it in the King James. He says, Simeon is not. Because remember, all that Jacob knew at this time was that Joseph was dead. He's been torn apart by animals. You remember that? Then when they went, he kept Simeon and then says, go bring Benjamin. And he's complaining. So there are things he's not privy to. And sometimes our problems makes us sad. Have you found somebody who has money and then they work around? This is my own English. They koga everywhere. Right? God says, don't do that. Because wisdom will tell you, you are not the only one who have money. So calm down. You are not the one with the latest hairdo in town. The things we chase after. He says God's wisdom would deliver you from the things we are going after. That's what he's saying. God's wisdom preserves us from pride, doubt, sadness, and discontent. So you reach a place where you are looking at everybody. Man, they look good. They are better. They have stuff. And you are sad. He says, don't be sad, because based on wisdom, you will notice that these things are not all that they seem. Secondly, God's wisdom provides our lives with divine perspective. Because based on divine perspective, you will notice when you meet someone without hair and their entire hair is gone and you have yours looking good, it is very easy to look at them and say they are old. Sometimes it's disease. They are not old. The same way you meet people with a lot of gray hair, and some is hereditary. They are not that old. You meet very old people. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I went. Those people, they lied to me. They told me that the dye is permanent. And I dyed my hair. I've not even cut it, though. I just left it like this. Then over time. Solomon is saying God's wisdom gives us God's perspective. If you are not careful, you will look at the perspective of the world. They told me the thing is, it's written on the box, I can go and sue. Even though I won't do. Because it's written on the box, permanent color, black. And the day I made it, Diana told me, that your hair looks too black. Because my perspective was the perspective of the people. But according to God's perspective, if you are growing, you will have gray hair. So when I say gray hair, why am I trying to cover it? What for? Now it's all came back. Wisdom preserves you from pride. Wisdom preserves you from sadness. Wisdom preserves you from discontent. It preserves you from doubt. Wisdom preserves you and it helps you to know, to live life with God's perspective. In fact, I have come to believe that school destroys people's giftings. It does. God didn't put all of it in your head, because sometimes there are people's giftings, they are in your hands. I like reading stories of successful people. I like reading them. Some of you young people, everybody want to play soccer now. You may be good now. You don't know that based on God's perspective, you might be hurt later. This is why you can't put all your chips in soccer. Have God's what? Perspective. Everybody wants basketball. But you are as vertically challenged as me. You might be the first one to soar in the air. But soar now. And let's see. We realize you don't. Wisdom provides our lives with divine perspective. Tell the person sitting next to you. Wisdom provides my life, your life, with divine perspective. Amen. So Solomon says, wisdom helps you to know that some things are better than the others. But God's wisdom will help you. Can I have a family moment? Can I have a family moment? I want to correct something. There's a lot of teaching out there saying that tithing has ceased. I wanted to gain wisdom. We are looking at wisdom. And the people who say it are smart. And they look smart. And they sound smart. But they are foolish, according to the word of God. And I'll tell you why. There are two systems of tithing in the Bible. One has ceased. The other has not ceased. When you go back to the Old Testament, you will notice in the book of Genesis 14, after Abraham had gone to war and he came back, the Bible says he met a guy, very mysterious name, called Melchizedek. Everybody say that with me, Melchizedek. The Bible calls him priest and king of the Most High God. Abraham gave tithe of all to that dude. That was before the law. So for the believer in the New Testament, we don't tithe based on the Levitical priesthood, which is 10%. We tithe based on the order of what? Melchizedek. I will prove it to you. If you look at the first offering in the Bible, it was offered by who? Abel. The one that was accepted. Right? What did Abel offer? He offered the best. The first offering in the New Testament was the parents of Jesus offering the child Jesus, which was also the best. Abel offered the first thing that came out of the flock. Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. He was the firstborn of all creation. The second offering we see in the Old Testament, I'll take time and I'll teach you. Right now, I want to correct something. The second offering we see in the Old Testament was the offering that was offered by Noah. You all remember that Noah had two animals and they entered the ark. And after the flood, the scripture says Noah had to take some. Remember that it was only two species that was left. So for Noah to take some out, suppose he took the female. What was the male going to do to get the other species come out? We see it as an offering where he took something that was so scarce, something that was of great value, and offered it to God. New Testament, Mary offered a sacrifice for herself for the days of purification for deliverance. When Noah did it, he did it also for deliverance. The third offering we find in the Old Testament was when Abraham came to what? Melchizedek. The third offering we find in the New Testament is when the wise men came and they offered it to, they gave him gifts that speaks of a king and a priest. God speaks in doubles. Are you guys with me? When Jesus shows up, he says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Then he tells the people, in the Old Testament, you were told, if you commit adultery, it is because you went to sleep with someone. But in the New Testament, you just have to look and think it. And you've already what? So grace does not lower the standard. It actually raises the standard. So Jesus said these words. Please follow me. He says, I am saying this because as a pastor, every once in a while, I look into our database to pray for you. That God, these ones are given. And I realize some of you, you share your testimonies. I realize you're making huge and you are messing around with it. As a father, I think I need to help you out. Are you guys with me? So in under grace, the standard is not lowered. Grace is not meant. Why? Because now you are not going to use your strength. It will take the Holy Spirit in you to do it. Are you guys with me? So now Jesus goes to church and he was standing by the offering bowl. You all remember that? When we all called the widow. Huh? The widow's what? Come on, let's say it again. The widow's. Yeah. Our giving has become smart. I want us to go back to wisdom. This is only an example. So Jesus stands there, and then he looks into the offering bowl, and then after that he says, of all the people who gave, the one who gave more was this widow. What was the litmus test? He said, he gave all. In the Old Testament, it's 10%. In the New Testament, under our present Melchizedek. I'll show you that he is the Melchizedek, Jesus. It was what is called a theophany, the pre-appearance of Christ before his Bethlehem birth. He showed up to receive the tithe from Abraham. It is 100% in the New Testament. So if you are struggling with 10%, and we are finding ways around it, child, you are being smart. You are not being wise. Amen. Amen. Now, when Jesus watched the woman, he said she put in all that he had. If it was today, people would have said Jesus is very wicked. Do you agree? Because this is all she won. This is all she had. And if this is all she had, Jesus, why didn't you tell this woman, take your money and go home? No, he never did that. Because in this life, please listen to me, look at my face. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Satan comes to Jesus, he shows us a principle that is so important. Pay attention. He says, all these I will give you. So he tells you prosperity that you can have by Satan. And Jesus says, no, God has his way. So in life, Satan's way is that the person who don't have, we don't ask them to give. God's way is that you're all preaching and keep preaching it. Are you getting it? Now, Jesus has received the offering. Anybody with me? You are kind of quiet. Let me correct this one because it's some kind of smartness that is destroying believers. I have made a decision I will use God's system because I will never let Satan, like Abraham. You all remember how Abraham says, so that you will not say you blessed me. I will not use the devil's system. I will use God's system. The Levites who were not supposed to work, and so the tithe was given to them. Do you all remember clearly that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah? You remember that? So then how does the Bible say he's a high priest? Because that would be error. It is error that if he is from the tribe of Judah, then he cannot be a high priest. Why? Because Jesus is not after the order of the Levitical priesthood, but after the order of Melchizedek. So we pay tithe now, not based on the Levitical priesthood, but based on what? On the Melchizedek order. Over there, you are not forced. You are not forced to give 10%. It is you who give. But Jesus says, I have set the framework. It is at 100%. I want your heart first before your money. This is why the scripture says, wherever your treasure is. So your giving is a measure of where your heart is. When you start playing games with God when it comes to money, you are being smart. But child, you are not being wise. Did you get that? One last thing to buttress it. How many of you remember in the book of Acts chapter 2, from verse 34 down, you remember the guy who gave? He went to sell all his property and then he brought it. What did the Bible say about him? There's something in the text that is important. I'll teach you one day. You will notice that the Bible calls him a Levi. Barnabas was a Levi. Therefore, he's supposed to receive what? The tithe. Not give it. Why did he give it? Because in the New Testament, tithes are not received by the Levitical priest. He sells the land as a Levi who's supposed to receive tithe, but now he's given it and he put it at the apostles' feet. The last time I checked, Peter was not a Levi because they are operating based on Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers of the... Why? Because all those in the fivefold ministry operate under the priesthood of Melchizedek, not the Levitical priesthood. And this is why somebody who was receiving tithe in the Old Testament now is paying tithe to a whole different group of people. I'll go deep into it one day. We'll take time. I'll take several weeks to teach you. But I want us to correct this. Don't scale back on the things you are doing. If you don't do it, God will raise other people to do it. But the question is, do you want Satan to say, I made him rich? Or do you want God to say, I made you rich? Which one do you want? Let's be wise. Stop being smart.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.